Everybody, welcome back to the Good and Ghetto podcast.
Woo.
Welcome back to the Good and Ghetto. Good and Ghetto, the pod. It's your girl Jam. I'm here, happy and alive with my sister.
Hi guys, it's me, Gigi.
It's me, little Gigi. Sis, what is up, y'all? Welcome back to the number one most consistently syndicated podcast in all the podcast history. It's just like most the way we be throwing these episodes at y'all. It's we can't. I know it's a lot. We just be like episode.
Ah, we can't even keep up.
It's just like an episode podcast pumping factory over here. We're just like,
it's wild. You guys can't we don't even keep up.
Sometimes we got to give y'all a break. We about to go on Christmas break. See y'all next year. JKJJ, we got jobs, y'all. We have to always reiterate and get a disclaimer. Good and Ghetto is not just a title, it's a lifestyle. It's a little ghetto around here.
It's really a lifestyle.
It's a little ghetto around here. We be working
a lot of good, even more ghetto.
But I love y'all. But I love y'all down. I love all 17 of y'all who listen to this podcast every time we drop it. Honestly, we need to come up, 2024, I'm going to come up with a name for, like, you know, our community, for our tribe.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not going to be ghetto and call it a gang. I'm not going to be like Good and Ghetto Gang, even though naturally my Chicago heart goes there instantly.
We definitely go straight to the gang.
I'm trying to gang bang automatically. But I'm not going to do it. I'm growing. Sis, how you doing?
I'm good. I am, struggling a bit, but I'm good.
You look good.
Oh, thanks.
You don't look like what you're going through.
I'm telling y'all, earlier today, fighting my life, but here I am. Yeah. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, man. I have a very important question for you. Mm-hmm. It's very important. I know that you already know this, but I received 7 emails that Marco Polo is updating and you need to save all your polos. And I need to know right now, have you saved your polos? I know you got a lot. Have you saved your favorite polos?
If you are not watching the visual of this, I am currently telling my good sis to shut the fuck up.
I'm just looking out for you as a loyal, you know, member of the Marco Polo community.
Listen, I did not know this, and my spirit is grieved, okay? Because the way y'all... Let me just say, I only get on Marco Polo for 2 people. Jemiah's mama and our good friend.
Shout out to Uncle B.
We literally be on Marco Polo like we're getting paid.
And okay. If any of you guys are normal citizens like myself and have no idea what Marco Polo even is outside of these 3... humans, it's literally an app, and I think we talked about it before. You just send just ridiculously long videos back and forth to, like, people who also use Marco Polo. It is a video sharing app that you literally do on every other social media app that we all use every day. These niggas get on a whole separate application to just talk to one another, like send a video like, hey, oh my God, today was crazy. Traffic on 290, wild. And then the other person will literally respond back, be like, bitch, shut up. I was just on 290. And also I had crab cakes for lunch. And they just do this.
Yeah, we literally, when I tell you, we have endless videos, conversations. Well, see, me and Brian don't long videos.
It's my mom.
Definitely. Jemiah's mom.
It's my mom.
Sends 20-minute videos. And I don't have the app, like the plus version, so I can't fast forward. So I have to sit there and listen to her talk.
It's my mama. My mama thinks Marco Polo is her podcast. She literally uses Marco Polo as her own personal podcast platform.
That is like the most perfect way to explain it.
What we get on this microphone to do, this is how my mother uses Marco Polo.
Y'all, she be on there giving us life lessons, We just be like, so baby, we want to know what you have for lunch. Like, just tell us what you have for lunch. Wild.
I love it so much. Shout out to my mama. We're going to have to bring her on one day.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Renita, we have to bring her on.
This whole podcast.
She would literally be like, what's up? This your girl. And this is now the Good and Ghetto Renita Virgin remix. Did she just growl at us?
Stop growling.
She's so funny. That's literally one of my favorite people on earth, but she's insane. So but she will literally come one time and get kicked off forever.
Yes, we will kick her off. But I am very disappointed that I need to update Marco Polo. I think that will be the very thing that will cause me never.
You literally have to. Well, you don't have to update it, but if you want to be able to go back and rewatch, because they've sent me 17 emails. I have not used the app since 2018. They've sent me
using Marco Polo with, though?
Renita, literally Renita. When I studied abroad, she was like, I have the perfect way for us to stay in touch when you're studying abroad. The perfect way. Marco Polo. Because she refused to get an iPhone, so I couldn't just FaceTime her like I would do any other human in the world.
I was just about to say, like, I think we FaceTimed while you were studying abroad. Like, why?
Well, she team Android, and she's like, no, I got it. I got the solution. Marco Polo. So I do have some really cute Marco Polos from when I was studying abroad that I might want to save. No cap.
Well, I will say, Renita and any of you Android users out there, y'all are sick in the head to have an Android. But that's a whole other conversation.
They swear by the camera. They like, have you seen this camera? I'm like, that shit looks like a Pixar movie. That shit looks animated.
And in addition to that, y'all can't do shit else with that phone.
And it's ugly. I mean, it's an ugly phone.
Very ugly. Like, it doesn't even cross-communicate between anything else, but we digress.
I digress, right, before we're going to
Marco Polo's trash right now. Very upset.
Sorry. Mm. Shout out to Marco Polo if y'all want to get out of the brand deal. Also, guys, before we get on, G told me that I have heavily influenced... Does this make me an influencer? I have heavily influenced her to get on the Boots Book.
No, the way to be an influencer is you actually have to post and talk about it, Jemiah, and you are not willing to do that.
Absolutely not. I'll never make it. I'll never make it on these internet streets. I hate you niggas, to be quite frank. I'll open this own thing.
Y'all, if y'all have not tried hard kombucha, let me just tell you.
Salut.
It's such a vibe. Here's the thing. Like, it's not as heavy as a beer. It won't get you told the hell up like this.
Like that.
But you most definitely will feel great.
You get you a little buzz. Thank you. And you know, it's crazy. I said, I'm not going to get on this podcast and talk about kombucha every episode like a fucking hippie. But I literally drink kombucha every day. Whether it's regular or hard kombucha, I drink it every day.
But you know, kombucha actually is really good for your system.
It's great for your gut. It's great for your gut. Yes.
I'm telling you, I took a road trip to South Carolina, but I won't get into it because that's part of my good for this week. But baby girl was outside cheating on her vegan diet, but had to come home, drink me a couple kombuchas, and get you
back on track. Mm-hmm. Period. Sure. Good and Ghetto is clearly sponsored by kombucha. I need a deal. Somebody give me a deal. Somebody cut me a deal. Flying Embers, June Shine.
Kombucha. I will do the videos because Jemiah,
thank you,
will never do that.
I'm so bad. Literally, the reason why there's only 17 listeners for this podcast, I literally drop the podcast the day it comes out. I post one day, and you never. I'm so bad at marketing. I hate it. It hurts my body.
Well, I think it's because there is this pressure, right? And there's a lot of pressure to perform, a lot of pressure to like show up. And even though people are kind of getting over that, it's still like, why? Why do I always have to have my phone out? Why?
It's so much pressure. I'm going to get better though, y'all. I promise. Because I love this podcast. I love doing the show and I want more people to listen. But like... Can y'all help me? Can y'all share some shit? Community, somebody share. Ain't, you know, back in the day when we was a finer brand of people, you know, we used to share the things that we like because everything wasn't content.
Yeah, everything is content now. It's exhausting for me to always have it out though, but it's just like, but if you don't, then how are you going to get it?
You're literally so much better at it, though. Shout out to Girl Be You. I'm shouting out Girl Be You every time because that's the gang.
Oh, we have our new shirts, by the way.
Oh my God, I need a shirt. Yes, you should. Okay, I need one.
Yes, it hasn't launched yet, but we'll launch it first.
Okay, well, I need an exclusive. I need an exclusive. All right, I'll be there next week.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I believe it or not, I actually have a couple things that have happened recently Ooh. That I have thoughts and opinions on because I've been on the internet a little bit. Mm-hmm. So my question is, have you listened to Meg Thee Stallion's new song?
I heard Cobra. Clips of it. Like, I've heard clips of it. And let me
what's your thought?
Let me just say this. I love these rap girlies. I love it. I think that it's Ooh. Great. But I don't know what the hell y'all be talking about. I don't know what beef y'all be having. It just really be rubbing me the wrong way. And
she be talking about her pussy being depressed. My pussy depressed.
I don't think I have the same goal. She said that? No, she didn't. This girl did not say that. You are lying.
Listen, first of all. I have to drop the visuals because the shock and awe on your face is very funny.
She said, listen,
my pussy depressed is a lyric. That's a quote. But no, wait. Oh. It's a, I like the song. So as you know, Megan Thee Stallion been having a rough year or two or whatever, right? So this is her first song that she released independent, no label, no nothing. This is just her. And her last album, she released a couple songs like Anxiety and Traumatized and all this stuff. It's all about mental health, pretty much. It's all about how she's been struggling. Her mom died, her grandma died, Tory Lanez goofy, all the shit, right? Mm-hmm. So that is a actual lyric in the song. But outside of that, part's a bit ridiculous, I agree, because... But the song is actually a little bit of a bop. It's pretty much talking about, like, I've been down and motherfuckers ain't even checking on me. Like, I'm going through it.
Oh, yeah. This one, she's been all black and she has, like, the snake and stuff.
Yes, it's called Cobra. Yeah, so it's, like, shedding my skin. I'm about to come back on top because she's about to drop, you know, I'm assuming, like, an EP or something independent. She's about to drop some more stuff. So this is her first single. I like the song. It make you want to shake your ass a little bit, but the lyrics is not shake-assable. But the beat is shake-assable.
Okay, I have a couple questions, though.
Yes, how can I help?
And I hope y'all don't cancel me. Just know that I'm an 80s baby through and through. I was raised by 70s and 60 babies, okay? Yeah. So let me just say that. At what point do we live from a place of discernment and wisdom?
It's not happening.
Meaning, do we think before we say stuff? And get, I get it. Like, Cobra, you're shedding your skin. You're like, rah. These bitches had me down, and now I'm back up again.
Pretty much. That's what you're saying. And that her pussy is depressed.
But that right there, Bitch, your pussy should never be depressed with all these sex toys, okay?
That's what you said.
Now, if you are depressed because you don't have physical touch, physical interaction, say that. But I feel let me just hush.
Because we already did the sexy red thing and we're not going to do that. But I do want to look at the lyrics to see what happens.
Out here pregnant and pop locking and with no shoes on.
What all? With a terrible piss poor chicken head. That chicken head is bad. It's bad. And she's from St. Louis. Is that a joke? Is it supposed to be like a parody chicken head? Why is it so bad?
My thing is, y'all, like, let's leave COVID out of it. Y'all don't care about getting athlete's foot.
Oh, you couldn't find nobody cares about that. No, she doesn't care. And I just, sexy, if you're listening, I just need to know, are you being for real with that chicken head or are you playing? Because if you're playing, it's cute. If you're being for real, respectfully go to hell because you're from St. Louis. Your chicken head is supposed to be elite, and that shit, that little stomp, be pissing me off.
I think the best thing Lexi Red said to me or to the world is a lot of y'all don't want to be wearing your glasses, but I'm going to wear my glasses. And she.
Oh, I thought you was about to say, I'm going to get my coochie scratched. She'd be like this.
Next subject. Now.
Yeah, that's enough about coochie. All that to say, I do like the song. This is my favorite bar from Cobra. And then we can move on.
Okay.
She said, I ain't going. No emotion. Back outside. Back in motion. I said, yes.
Okay.
Now that is that.
Okay.
Words of affirmation.
But can I just say
back this? Outside. In motion.
Can I just say this though? I think a lot of times, again, please don't cancel me. This is just from an approach of being a little bit older. We say these things and we say no emotion, back outside, we in whatever she said, in motion. I get that. But what happens when you go back outside and you still lonely and have all the other stuff going on?
No. The thing about it is the critical point that we always have to remember is that everyone's a liar. We just look at it. I'm going back outside, sad as hell. Yeah, back outside, still sad as fuck, but I'm out. You know, we're lying. Everybody's lying. We know this. Meg, I still support you. We're all lying. So yeah, it's not supposed to make sense. It's just supposed to make you feel better. Yeah. Yeah. She's a liar. I'm a liar. We're all liars. Together, somebody should write a song called I'm a Liar. And that would be the realest shit ever dropped.
That comment reminds me of our girl moment. But the point is, everyone likes.
I'm going to be like, cut that out. But yeah, we're all liars. And that's why I like a good anthem. I like a good empowerment. Because in this moment where I'm singing this song, I'm empowered. And then I'm going to cut it off. And I'm fucked up still. But I'm, you know, sometimes you got to lie a little bit. And honestly, I said this before. I think we need to start lying a little bit more again and being a little bit more delusional. Everybody got too real, too raw. Everybody's traumatized. Everybody's so deep. And please, let's start getting a little delusional again and just start making shit up just for the fun of it.
Somebody told me they want to stay Delulu. They said, I just want to stay Delulu.
I've never heard that.
But okay.
I support the Delulu. Even like TikTok. And I actually have this noted down. Why did TikTok suddenly get so serious? Like, we used to be on TikTok, renegade, and doing voiceovers. Now it's so serious.
It's very serious. But you know what? You have to change your algorithm. And I keep telling people that. Like, when you go on there and it starts getting serious and they start talking about stuff that you don't want to hear, I literally go and clean out my TikTok and be like, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear none of that.
Yeah, and it just be... The kids used to be on there dancing, and it's like, even with the kids dancing, the kids still on there dancing now, but now the kids dancing, and they dancing so hard, they dancing for their life, you know what I'm saying? They dropping out of 8th grade to be in a little baby video, because they know how to do the TikTok hip, and now they don't care about nothing else.
Because we've glorified them, we've glorified the whole, like, you could be a millionaire off of dancing on TikTok.
You could be an influencer.
No, you can't stop it. It's way too much.
You're gonna be in one DaBaby video. You gotta go back to 8th grade because you're reading on a 4th grade level. You gotta go back to school, babes. Gotta stay in school. Hey, stay in school. No child left behind, please. Y'all is back there. Y'all
leaving all these kids.
They've been left.
Left.
What else been going on? I'm so proud of myself. I actually was like, you know what? I want to talk about some shit. Okay. Another question. I don't know if you... So I did not watch this podcast, but I followed... You know who B. Simone is?
Oh, yes. I've really been watching this stuff. Because let me tell you something.
So, did you listen? Were you... Okay. So I want to hear your take. Because I don't know that much. All I know is it seemed a little messy.
Okay. Here's my thing. And I'm going to take you back to bring you forward. Okay.
Take me back and bring me up.
I'm an old soul. I was raised by my grandparents. Well, not raised by my grandparents, but I was always around my grandparents, always around my aunts and uncles. So a lot of times as a kid, I was doing like kind of grown-up stuff, like just sitting around old folks, learning old people lessons. And so a lot of times that has in my youth and now like in my 40s, I really lean heavily into discernment. Okay. When I saw this podcast, everybody was like going crazy. Everybody was like, oh my God, be Simone. I've never cared for that.
I ain't got no problem with you being Simone. But yeah.
Okay. But to each his own. So when they came out with this podcast, like they originally came out and they were just like friends or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But then over the course of time, I started seeing it change. And then it started changing to being like, oh, we're friends. But then they start having these deeper conversations and like having these cry segments. Then it changed to where it wasn't just them. And then they start having conversations around God and around this. Don't get me wrong. I was raised in church. You talk about a poster kid church. Right. But I also know when people be playing, that discernment be kicking in. So when I saw B. Simone a long time ago, I was like, I don't like her. When I saw this podcast, like, oh, she's trying to reinvent herself. And then when they started bringing people on, I was like, oh, they both trying to reinvent themselves. But then when I went down to the TikToks and started doing my research, I was like, oh, this is all
I apologize, y'all. I don't be in these internet streets, so really, I know all of what I've saw in the last 48 hours. But I did know that they have a podcast. Me, I love a good podcast. For some reason, I too was never really drawn to that podcast. I don't have a problem with B. Simone. Like, I'm always in support of any Black woman getting her bag. I think she created a brand for herself. She created a character. Same with, like, Pretty V. Like, they both, I kind of, like, look at them similar. Janice I look at them similarly, and I'm like, you doing your big one. You found something that works. You doing your big one. Which Pretty V, pastor's kid, very God-fearing, extremely. She is, like, truly, like, a character. Because, like, from what I see on her, like, when she's not in character, her mom's a pastor. Like, she's a real, like, God-fearing, like, for real, for real. She's just silly as hell. Yeah. But I digress. I too, was never, like, very super drawn to keep up with B. Simone. So I never really got into this podcast. But the clips that I did see would always be this, like, dramatic, like, you know, like, I guess Megan got an abortion at some point and they're, like, crying. Or no, B. Simone got an abortion and Megan was like, oh, God. And it just got so deep, which was very confusing for me because, like you said, maybe it was a rebrand. But, like, B. Simone, it never really took me. I never took her as a very, like, super deep person. Right. So then to get these clips of this podcast, and it's, like, deep, and this Megan girl, who obviously I didn't know, and apparently they've been best friends for 20 years.
But they weren't friends for 10.
For 10, which is not being best friends for 20 years. You've been, but anyway. So I've seen all this, and I'm just, like, I watched some of the videos and it really, like, I was confused because it seemed like at some point B. Simone was like, I don't want to be friends with Meg no more, but I'm still trying to get this bag. So let's work it out for the sake of though, for sure. And Megan is like, but how that's going to work when our whole brand is friendship, which I agree. Like, I can't pick a side. It just seemed like they're two very different people. When they started getting real godly and stuff, it seemed like Megan was really genuine and it seemed like B. Simone was just on a different walk. I'm not questioning nobody's walk or their faith. It is what it is, but it just seemed like they was in two different spaces there. But it's like, I don't understand how B. Simone ever thought your podcast, that the premise of it is, hey, I'm doing this podcast with my best friend of 20 years. Y'all no longer friends and you thought y'all was still going to be able to keep the friendship podcast? I think
that it goes back to that delusion, though. It goes back to the whole sense of, like, you have got to be delusional to believe that, like, you're still gonna, and but it also goes to people's what's important to them, their values,
Like, which it seemed like they had some big differences.
Big, big differences. And it sounded like Meg was more so like, I do want to keep this friendship, work on it. And B. Simone was like, yeah, from what I
She
gather.
like, I've been getting
She's like,
to the money.
listen,
Like,
you're not mad.
but and then it was like, I think the reason why it seems like I almost like B. Simone was a little like desperate to keep the podcast going, just to keep things good for the sake of the podcast. It's like because she rebranded herself so much, so that's like now I don't even associate B. Simone with who she was initially on the internet and the Instagram comedian, like the pretty V of it and all that. I don't even associate that with her. I associated her as this like self-made, have you know, devoted my life to Jesus. Like her brand is completely changed, and so now if your podcast isn't working due to unreconcilable differences with your God-fearing bestie, now everything else is kind of coming into question. You're just about to go back to Wildin' Out because you was a hood booger on Wildin' Out. But on the podcast, you so deep. So now you got to go back
See,
to.
This is what we said, mentioned earlier, that people be lying. And
also. Someone's a liar. Me too, sis. Let's start a support group.
But also, I think that it's important that whatever you start, that your heart posture is right, right?
Yeah.
So when I look at friend podcast, of course, you know I'm always reference Getting Grown.
Yeah.
The Read, Friend Zone. You know, these people who I don't feel like they're changing their brand to be something to fit the podcast.
Yeah.
They are who they are and being who they are and accepting each other. Like, of course, we don't know the inner workings of their relationship, but I think when you're constantly attempting to rebrand, to be seen differently, to rebrand, to get different types of bags, like it's not worth it. And I think the perfect example of that is Tabitha Brown. Like, Tabitha Brown has truly, truly been herself.
Eating.
Even when they was calling her a witch,
Eating.
Which is crazy. And I'm like, yo, that's how I know that people are crazy.
Oh yeah, people are insane.
This woman literally said, I have dreams. That's it.
Yeah.
She said, I have dreams and they guide me. That's it.
Yeah.
I have dreams as well.
Right.
My ancestors come to me in my dreams all the time. My grandma came to me and was like, thank you for being my friend.
Amen.
So y'all gonna say I'm a witch because she came to me in my dreams? So my point is that people will think that you're crazy. That's why it's important to stay true to yourself.
Stay authentic.
And not be rebranding yourself so you can get different types of money.
Because the receipt's going to always be there. You ain't always got to like it. You ain't always got to get down with me. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be able to stand 10 toes down and be like, baby, this is what I've been on. It's always been like that. So I don't know. I was just wondering if you...
Now I'm gonna make me go back to TikTok and like do more of
no go down the rabbit hole, because now you know Megan is starting her own podcast.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. She like had her photo shoot and I don't know. I don't know if I would listen to her.
I'm gonna tell you why I might listen.
Yeah, please tell me why.
So this is so funny because everything is flowing seamlessly with my notes. So I went to the reunion tour last night.
Oh yes, yes, yes. How was that?
It was good, man. I ain't been to a gospel
Don't
church
worry about it. It's okay.
Or even church adjacent function in a long time. It was cute. Reunion tour was cute. Now I tell you this right now, LA ain't no bumpers. LA, y'all wasn't in the pews. I don't know what it was. Y'all not.
You had to come to Chicago for that one. It was Chicago and Detroit was probably way different than LA.
Yeah, LA wasn't no bumpers, like for real. It was giving that they were really there to like watch a show, like true spectators.
Yeah.
I was going there to get my, I'm trying to bump. I'm trying to get a little praise. I'm trying to get slain. Like, I was trying to get mine, and they was in there like they was watching the IMAX. They was like it was a couple people, but it was just the energy wasn't like in the room. And I think that everybody on stage, the performers could feel it because they're like, LA, y'all with me? Like they would make little comments like, y'all still here? y'all still up? I'm like, damn, LA.
He got into an accident and cut his face.
I know. And so this is what I would say. It was good, but I felt so bad for Ty Tribbett the entire concert because he was trying so hard. And I know that man had to be in an immense amount of pain because, you know, he's a screamer. All Ty do is scream. Now, I ain't never really been down with all that hooting, hollering, screaming at the top of your lungs. Ty, bring it down a couple octaves. You're pissing me off a little bit. And the crazy legs across the stage. It's a lot for me sometimes. But I respect the man for what he does. He seems like an amazing man of God. But he was up there. He had a mask on. And it just really, like, he clearly couldn't engage how he wanted to. He clearly couldn't, like, hit all the notes and give all the commentary and, like, do as much as he wanted to. And it just, I could only imagine how much pain he was in. That's all I kept thinking. Every time I was just like, Ty, please go sit down. Because he had just got stitches.
Yeah.
So I'm like, baby, you about to bust a stitch in here trying to...
Yes.
Baby, you about to be in the ER again. Ty, please. You're scaring me. You're scaring me. He was really trying to scream and he was struggling.
I think that's just people's... like his sense of like wanting to perform.
He wants to
give his very best, which is unfortunate.
And he did. It was good. Everybody's good. You know who I enjoyed a lot, who I didn't think I would enjoy as much? Is that his last name?
Halton.
Mm-hmm. Halton Horton. You know, that man, Israel Newbery. He was good.
He had a lot of hits. He had a lot of hits that people sang back in the day.
He do have a lot of hits. I did miss the Clark Sisters because I was on CPT. I did miss the Clark Sisters, but I ain't even going to cap y'all. I'm a young whippersnapper. I don't know that many Clark Sisters songs.
Yeah, so. I would have been in there like singing for real.
Listen, they did the hit at the end. Yeah, my sunshine, you give me sunshine. They did that at the end. I caught that. Amen. So reunion tour was good. But I say that to say I have been called. I feel like I'm being tugged on to, you know, get back in touch with the Lord a little bit. Yeah. So I'm actually looking to find me a church home here in LA. I did not know this, but One Church LA is literally down the street from my house.
I was going to say it. And have you watched that? But did you watch that snippet with Sarah Jakes when it was like I have to find it, I'm going to send it to you. But there were two girls that were talking to her and they were like, you know, what happens when I don't really want to go back to church? She was like, listen.
Oh, you're talking about the Scotty and Sylvia show. Yes, because that is one of my favorite podcasts.
Really? You got to give me the list of the podcasts to listen to.
I do. Shout out to Scotty Beam and Sylvia O'Bill. Love, love, love Scotty Beam. I've been listening to her since she was on Black Girl Podcast, which was one of the first podcasts I ever started listening to. I'm going to send you the link. You would love it. You would love them.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about alignment real quick. Let me tell you about alignment real quick. So the past couple weeks, probably the past month or so, I've been like, I think I need to go back to church. Or I think I just need to get reconnected. I don't know if you saw, but I posted on my Instagram a few weeks ago, like, hey, any streaming recommendations for some services? Like, I have not been a patron of church in years. Mm-hmm. So I've been like taking recommendations. People like, hey, watch my pastor. I'm not watching all y'all pastors. Don't nobody send me no Mike Todd. I'm not watching him. Shout out to my guy. So I've been like in this space of, I want to get back connected to church. So then last weekend I was working and one of the people I was working with, we were just having casual conversation and she was talking about how like, yeah, you know, I actually came to Christ as an adult and we wasn't even talking about religion. She just kind of like brought this up. She was like, I actually came to Christ as an adult and like, it's been a great journey, you know, 2020, all this stuff. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. I've been looking at, like, I was raised in church. I've been looking to get back reconnected. She's like, you should try out my church. I'm like, okay, what's your church? She's like, One Church LA. It's Sarah Jakes' church. And I was like, shut up. I didn't even realize, because again, I ain't been in the church scene. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that church was in LA. And then she goes, yeah, it's here. I'm like, baby, that's a 5-minute drive from my house. I literally drive past this church every day going to work. Never knew this was what that building was.
Creatives. Like, he's a creative.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, like, I didn't know this.
All creatives.
Yeah. So she's like, you should 100% visit with me. I'm like, bet I would do that. So then that same weekend, I'm driving back home And I turned on the latest episode of the Scotty and Sylvia show. Now, I didn't know what the episode was going to be about, who the guest was going to be. Who's the guest?
Sarah Jakes.
Mm-hmm. I said, now that's crazy. What was the episode about? What are they talking about? Reestablishing faith, going back to church, finding hope. All these, like, the episode was literally the things that I have been contemplating going through. I said, okay, Lord, that's alignment. And then just today, Janice, I texted this girl who I know out here, who I texted to go to the reunion tour with. We like miscommunicated, blah, blah, blah. So I ended up going by myself. But she was like, hey, let me know if you ever want to go to church with me. I said, okay, bet. She's like, I go to One Church LA. So let me know if you ever want to go. So I guess I'm going to visit One Church LA. I don't know how many more signs I need. I guess I'm gonna be in one church.
I'm definitely gonna go visit, because honestly, we won't even go down that rabbit hole of like my whole relationship with church and all of that stuff. But I will say that Sarah Jakes, T.G. Jakes, a lot of people have a lot to say about like what they do, what they don't do, and all that stuff. And I don't get into that because I am a pastor's kid, so I know that it can be all of that. You know, behavior and talking about people and talking about what they do, what they don't do. I've been there. So I just try to keep my mouth off people in that manner, especially in that kind of position.
Right.
But I will say that Sarah Jakes is definitely like somebody that I can definitely understand because of her identity and where she, her journey and how she traveled and where she got what she got. And she, to me, she always keeps a real like level-headed, humble perspective. Like, you know, I really get down with y'all, but the Lord is here. So I'd be like,
she seemed cool as hell. I don't know if you can say that about pastors, but she seemed cool as hell. And she just
I really like it.
Yeah, I will. I think I'm gonna go this Sunday. Y'all don't hold me to that, but I think I'm gonna go. But I have been, you know, sometimes in life you like, I'm in the process of like being more grounded and being more present. And it just makes sense that a part of that process has been reconnecting to God, because that really is a core and foundational part of who I am as a person, whether I like it or not. I was in church. I was at the church 4 days a week growing up, doing anything on the drum line. Why do churches have drum lines? I don't know. But I was clacking cymbals.
That's why.
Yeah. Then maybe that's the problem in the world. Bring the church drum lines and step teams back.
But somebody said something, I know it's a terrible tangent, we got to get to our point, but somebody said the reason that music is not the way it is anymore is because these kids didn't grow up in church. They're not in church. Boys to Men, Mary J. Blige, Casey and JoJo,
all church kids.
Everybody grew up in church.
I said the same thing. That's why everybody on these songs whispering open your mouth, belt for the Lord. Belt like you got something.
Can't sing.
Anyway, we just accept it. Anyway, that's a. Okay. I don't know. Unless I know, I had a whole docket kind of today. Did you have anything else that you wanted shoot the shit about before we? Period. Okay. Well, guys, we're gonna get into our little conversation topic. Segment. I still don't remember what I called this segment, but the topic.
So this topic was actually what we feel inspired to do versus what we do because we have to do.
Yes. I want y'all to know. So for those of y'all who know me personally or follow me on the socials, I'm doing 75 soft, and a part of 75 soft requires me to read 10 pages a day. And I think I was actually influenced on TikTok to buy this book, and it's called Don't Believe Everything You Think by Joseph Nguyen. Don't worry about
it. For the visual, let's see it. Okay.
So I want to, the book is pretty much brief little one-liner. It's pretty much the concept that why you're thinking is the beginning and ending of all suffering. So the premise of the book is pretty much like, the reason why you're suffering so much is because you're thinking too much. And he breaks down the difference between thoughts, because thoughts come and go, thoughts are free flowing. A thought will come in and then a thought will also leave you. But thinking is when you sit and you fester on the thoughts. And then the thought you're thinking now makes what a thought and turn it to something else. Like that's where we get stuck, is that we don't let thoughts just be thoughts. We start thinking about shit that we don't really need to be thinking about. Therefore, we are not suffering. Because, right. You know what I'm saying? So suffering pretty much comes from negative thinking. And a way to get out of the suffering is to not think about negative things, which sounds easier than done. And he kind of breaks it down that way and then goes into different things. So I was like reading the book and I was like, all right, go. Like, I'm going to finish the book. And then we get to this here chapter. I'm going to read y'all what he's saying. Because I'm reading the book, but the book was reading me at this point. He says, there are two sources of goals. Goals created out of inspiration and goals created out of desperation. When goals are, I said, I ain't never heard that before. He said, that's what he gave me up. He said, when goals are created out of desperation, we feel a large sense of scarcity and urgency. It feels heavy, like a burden. We may even feel daunted by the colossal task we've just committed ourselves to. Imposter syndrome and self-doubt begin to manifest, and we always feel like we never have enough time for anything. Janice, please. If that did not summarize every conversation you and I have ever had about being stressed out about literally anything. What? You may even feel daunted by the colossal task you've just committed yourself to.
Okay, wait. Just pause for a second. When you talk about alignment, and I know that we're going to get to it, and I know we're going to talk, but let me just say this. For the past 30 days, I have committed myself to an idea of a vision of someone else's vision, right? And been like, yes, I believe in it. And then once you get over there into the muck and the mire, you realize, well, I've realized this is some bullshit and I want to go home. And I also realize that this is not where I am supposed to be.
What am I doing here?
And it has caused so much anxiety. And I was literally just telling my husband, I was like, the reason why I am frustrated is because this is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
And you probably only did it because you felt like you had to do, you didn't have a choice in the moment. I got to do something. Desperation. Ate me up. I was sitting there reading a book like this. It's like there are two sources of goals. Goals created out of desperation. Just that idea alone. There are goals created out of desperation and goals created out of inspiration. I'm just like, it really had me sit back and assess, because, you know, I have big dreams and stuff, but I'm like, do I have big dreams? Or did I make myself have a big dream because I felt like that's what I had to do to get out of the situation I was in? Is that even my dream? Or did I feel like I just had to have a dream? Because you're a ghetto kid from Chicago and the only way to get out is to dream big. So I had to have a big dream.
Or dream so big that it's not someone else's dream. Right? Like, let me dream so big because I don't want people to think that I'm not dreaming, that I don't have a goal for myself.
Right. Am I inspired or am I desperate because I'm doing what I feel like I have to do?
Maybe I'm going to tell you right now. I've been desperate for the last 30 days and I'm going to tell you that it is terrible. It is the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And what literally brings my heart and my soul joy. I told my mama this. I promise you, I just told my mama this. Years ago, I remember like praying and I was like, God, what do you want me to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. He's like, I literally want you to write and run your mouth.
That's
all I want you to do.
Figure it out.
And I'm like, but that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make, like, when you think about it, like, right and run my mouth, like, how does that make sense? And so today, was it today or yesterday? I told my mom, I was like, I have put myself in this position because I felt like I had to, but this is never what I was supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I am supposed to be writing and running my mouth. That literally is where, like, it's going to come from. You know, when people are like, I'm going to blow up. Yeah, it's going to come from me writing and running my mouth. That's
and
it.
Everything outside of that just feels like a burden.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like a burden. And I'm overwhelmed. And I also never really feel that successful in the things that I'm doing that because I have to, because I'm not even truly inspired to do these things. Not that I'm not capable, but I don't even feel successful because even once I get the success, I still feel empty because this isn't even what I really care to do.
It's, go back to that point of like, it's not that you're not capable. It's not that I'm an idiot. I can do the job.
I can do it.
But but inside, internally, I am not fulfilled.
And I don't feel like it. Yeah, fuck y'all. Like, honestly, baby, the greatest thing that ever happened to me in 2023 was quitting that job. Hey, quitting that job. And it's not even because anybody really did anything so wrong to me. I just walked in that building every day and was like, I don't feel like it.
So
and I can do this so well. I don't feel like it.
So here's the question, though. Because everyone realizes that, like, yeah, I'm not happy and I don't like this. The question then becomes, how do you sit at that intersection of I can't do this no more and here's my inspiration until you get to where you're supposed to be?
That one's hard because at the end of the day, how many of us can truly, if someone asked us, what makes you happy? How many of us could truly answer quickly as we can answer what pisses you off? What don't you like?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What truly brings you joy in life that isn't an obligation? Because the thing about us is we know how to find joy in anything. Mm-hmm. You, baby, I could be sitting on the bus stop and I find a way to enjoy it. You know what I mean? I can create because I am joy. I can create it. But what truly brings me joy? Like, let's think about the words. What brings me joy? Not joy I'm creating because then I'm doing the work.
Right.
What actually brings me joy naturally, organically? I couldn't tell you. I would literally have to sit here and really think and ponder about it because our life, and the book talks about it. It's like, hey, if you're living your life out of desperation, you're in the majority. This is what we all do. This is what we all do. And to actually live your life out of inspiration is something that's very hard to accomplish and hard to describe to others because not many people do it. They just find ways to enjoy the thing that they actually are doing out of desperation. You're like, well, shit, I can't be miserable. I ain't going to just be miserable. I guess I love working at the toy store. Oh my God. It's so much fun.
So I just want to scream right now. Like, I
let,
like,
crazy.
Is he they that I had? I literally called my mama and my husband and was like, somebody talk me off the ledge because I swear to God. But it's like, it's not that difficult.
No.
It's literally not that difficult. We're one choice away from living our very best life and living it completely joyful. And I think, to answer my own question between that intersection of this is something I have to do and this is the intersection of what I'm inspired to do, you have to be comfortable in being uncomfortable on the path of your inspiration.
Yeah.
Because it will not be comfortable.
Yeah. And you have to enjoy the process.
And you got to just be okay with it. I used to tell my aunt when I moved to Dallas, I lived on my aunt's couch. I slept on her couch for 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a job. I was just working out, eating Oreos. I was working out for 3 hours, eating Oreos, going running. And I remember telling her, I was like, we're literally living in the good old days right now.
Yeah.
And now, fast forward, that was like 2016, 16, I think, mm-hmm. when I'm there, 2023, I can text her right now and be like, remember when we lived in that little raggedy apartment and mm-hmm. we used to eat dinner and watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? And she's mm-hmm. like, yeah, the good old days. We're literally living in the good old days, but we're always reaching
for something else
that we don't even enjoy the moments of the inspiration right now. That book, I need to get that, because that right there.
Now, listen. That's the desperation. Now, this is what he say about when you create a goal out of inspiration. When we create goals out of inspiration versus desperation, it is a completely different story. In this state, we are creating because we feel deeply moved, inspired, and expansive. It feels like a calling rather than an obligation. It is like there's a powerful force of life coming from within us, wanting to be expressed through us to be made, manifested into the physical world.
Yo, Jemiah, I'm about to start crying.
Get the book.
When I tell you, literally, I woke up maybe 2 days ago. I have been praying like, man, God, again, not trying to make this no spiritual, like nothing.
Right. But that's your truth.
Yeah. Like I have been praying like, God, I don't even feel motivated to do the stuff that I love to do anymore. Like, help me to, you know, whatever. The past couple of days I've been waking up like, you need to get back to your girl and glow. You need to get back on these podcasts. You need to get back on your writing. You need to get, and I'm just like, okay. But I feel like
it's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable, not because doing what we want is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because we are not conditioned to live lives led by inspiration. That's just not how we're conditioned.
Right.
So it just doesn't feel natural.
Right. So it feels very much like, oh, I gotta. And I literally just told my coworkers, like, stop texting me with this sense of urgency, because it ain't that serious. It's milk.
It's not that deep.
Calm
down. And I'm not coming back to work. I'm not coming back. So y'all, I swear to God, G, this is literally what I used to tell them people in that job. It's no point in y'all texting or calling me when I'm not there, because I'm not coming in. If I can't solve the problem from my couch, y'all got to figure it out. I'm off the clock. I was just there for 10 hours straight physically in the building. I'm at home now. Y'all got to get me, get it while it's good. You got to get me while I'm next.
But you know, the other thing too is that we talk a lot about like boundaries, and people are like, oh, my boundaries. And I shouldn't say other people, me. I am always mm-hmm. like, my boundaries. And baby, I will let down the guard and be like, okay, I'll let them walk over my boundary. Okay, girl, I'll let you do. Mm-hmm. And it's because over the years, I've done that for so long. And so because I'm used to letting those guards down and not having sure mm-hmm. boundaries, it's hard for me to kind of keep it up and be stern.
Yeah.
Like confronting things is difficult for me.
Yeah. Or
speaking up in situations, I will let stuff go. And then all of a sudden I'll snap out and people are like,
they're like, who is this person? Yeah, you should have left me to hell alone. I love that. But so my question is, and maybe you know, maybe you don't know, because I don't even know. I've been reading and thinking about this. And I don't even know if I have an answer, but can you name something that you are inspired to do? What inspires you in this life, in a perfect world, if you didn't have to worry about any of the other stresses or obligations of life, what would you say you are inspired to do?
I am so inspired. I know that we talk about like girl be you all the time, mm-hmm. and we're like, oh, girl be you. But I am truly, truly inspired with connecting and building community for Black women. Yeah. And I know people are like, you have to be all inclusive and blah, 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 blah. And I get that. But for me and what I've been called to do, I feel like I was put on this earth to create the thing that I did not have growing up.
Yeah.
And that inspiration for me looks like telling the stories of a little Black girl, you know, allowing that little Black girl to live freely,
mm-hmm.
like she wasn't able to do,
mm-hmm.
free from insecurities, free to dream, free to, you know, create, free mm-hmm. to connect with people. Like, I always struggled with making friends when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know how to, like, navigate
sure.
different things because I was different. Like,
yeah,
I was a
pack yeah, yeah.
kid, so people really didn't want to talk to me. But I also didn't realize how actually I was super dope. Like, mm-hmm. I was a cool kid. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
So when I think about what inspires me, that's what inspires me. It inspires me, like, when I can get on this podcast and you and I can connect and talk and yeah. know that if it's 17 listeners or if it's 20 listeners or if it's 100, mm-hmm. they're being inspired by these Black women getting on here, being friends, not attempting to tear yeah. each other down, but building community. And I think that that is what really inspires me. It's building community and a safe space for Black women and Black children, Black mm-hmm. men, marriages, because I just feel like we don't have that. We really yeah. don't. I mean, we do, but, you know, we're always told, you know, you guys are always, you should let us in and teach us. No, we ain't teaching.
Girl, go to hell. No. Please.
Immediately. With gasoline draws on. So I think that's
real quick.
What inspires me. So yeah. What inspires you?
I love
you?
That. I would say we have some similarities, but I think I'm coming to a little like revelation in my life. Because I used to think that I was also inspired to like be this representation of Black girls for young Black girls like me to be something that they look up to and like, you know, that's why I wanted to become this Hollywood actress and I want to do all these mm-hmm. things. I want to show that I was proof that you could be a product of my environment and still mm-hmm. go on to be great things.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly do think that that is a goal that came out of desperation.
Yeah.
And I don't, not that that's not still my dream, but I have to now figure out how to be inspired mm-hmm. to chase that dream again. Because before I was chasing that dream out of desperation, because I felt like I had to make it to be this representation, and it was a burden because I'm not goddamn, I ain't no Kamala Harris. I can't, okay, like, let's be for real. Like, okay, I don't know if I've changed the world type.
But do you feel like you have to adjust your dream of inspiration? Do you feel like that's what you're
doing? I feel like, so there's the goal and there's the inspiration. So what I realized, and I literally, when I came to this realization, I had to call my boy we have similar conversations, he and I, like you and I have, and mm-hmm. he also wants to be an actor. I had to call my boy and say, oh my God, the revelation I just had. So there's the goal and then there's the dream. And what I have realized is that my dream was really just a vehicle to reach the goal that I wanted. And I'm just not realizing that because I thought the end goal used to be become Hollywood actress, movie star, TV shows. That's the goal.
Yeah.
But really, the goal has always been, I want to get in a position where I can create a life of ease and peace that I have always, always wanted, that I feel like I did not necessarily
Man, Jemiah, this is like full circle. Do you remember when you were like, I'm not going to go to college, I'm going to just stay here? And I was like, mm-hmm. get the fuck out of Chicago.
You got to go.
I said, do not come back here. Go yeah. and do
you come I back. Literally, even going to school, I didn't know what I wanted to go to school for. Like, you know, I went as an open major and all this stuff. And so it's like, everybody just always told me, you know, you should be an actress. And I love acting. You know what I mean? I did it in high school. I did it in college. My degree is in theater. Like, I love acting. But the dream became attached to what people will celebrate me. And I needed to be celebrated. Like, I need people to support me. And ain't nobody ever supported me in much else other than the fact that they want me to be an actress. That's where all the love come from. So I'm like, shit, I guess I'm about to be an actress.
Do you feel like the actress thing was just like someone else's dream for you, but it was kind of adjacent to what you liked?
I think that I really do enjoy, and I still do, and I'm not giving up on my dream, Renita, if you're listening. I love the craft of acting. I would not be the person I am. I love creating. I love entertaining. Which is all going to circle back to what I think I'm inspired to do. I love entertaining people. And so it's not that I think it's somebody else's dream. I just think the goal, I now understand what my real goal, like a goal for my life is peace and ease and lightness. And the dream of acting started to feel like a burden, more of a burden than it did a dream that I, as an individual, was truly attached to. It started feeling like an obligation. Everyone expects for me to be this actress now. So now I must. And so I have felt disconnected from that dream for a while now. And it's crazy because I live in LA. And everybody's like, oh my God, you're in LA. When's the next? And I'm like, baby, I got a job. And I'm content because the true goal has always been comfort and ease and peace. And I fucked around and found a way to create that outside of the dream. And that's when I realized the dream was just a vehicle to my ultimate goal of comfort and ease and peace.
But here's the other thing. People will not believe that that's an actual dream to have because it's not attached to something that is bigger, right?
Like this materialistic.
Yeah. And for me, I can totally, I love that. I love the fact that it's like the dream for me is just ease.
Because I've never wanted to be a starving artist. I mean, I kid you not. I've always wanted to be an actress, but never if that meant I had to live in my car. I was never going the Tyler Perry route. I'm sorry, baby. I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to have a roof over my head. I came from the trenches. The dream not about to put me back in the trenches. I'm sorry. Shout out to everybody who can live out the car and be washing their ass in the gas station and at the IHOP. It was never happening for your girl. I'm going to have a job. I've had a job since I was 13 years old. I'm going to have a job and these bills are going to be paid and I'm about to have enough money to do what I want to do. Because again, comfort, ease, peace, stability. These are things that I was not always privy to.
Yes. And I think
so I'm not about to allow the dream to take away from those things. Cause those are the things I'm really chasing.
Yes.
I don't care how I get it. I need those things.
I remember being in Dallas. And when I lived in Dallas, again, lived on my auntie's couch, but definitely had so much peace. When I finally had my own place, I didn't have a lot of furniture. But baby, we would go to that grocery store. I had a nice little TV. I had a nice little comfy bed. I had a patio. I would have my dinner on the patio. I would come back in. And it was peaceful.
Yeah. I need that. I need that.
And now, like when people are like, why would you leave Chicago? Because baby, I love peace and quiet while I'm at my house.
Yeah.
I like to run together in peace.
Yeah. And like, when I say I want peace as it looks for me. I love to kick it. I love to party. I love to get down. I'm a city slicker. I actually love living in big cities. You know what I'm saying? I like being around a little bit of the, but then I like to escape into my home and my house feeling like it's looking. And I have the ability to create the life that I feel comfortable in. And I have been able to do that. And I'm like, damn, low key, fuck that acting shit. I'm chilling. You know what I mean? And so now my goal is, how do I now get re-inspired to chase my dream? Because I do still feel like I have a God-given talent and gift that I'm not ready to give up on. But and that's why reading this book read me down.
Because
I've been trying to figure out why I don't feel connected to my dream anymore. It's like, baby, because that dream was an inspiration. Yeah. So if you want to be connected to that dream again, you have to figure out how you're going to get inspired to chase that dream again and not be chasing that dream because you feel like you have to. Because you're going to give up on it every single time as soon as something else is more comfortable. Because what's important to you, Jemiah, is comfort and peace and creating a life for you that you don't, creating a life you don't feel like you need to escape from.
That is what we don't. And maybe that's what I needed to hear. Because when people are like, I told somebody, I was like, I'm not interested in leaving my house to go to work. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit in traffic to have to work. I don't want to do that. And a friend of mine was like, you know, life is just going to be like that. You're going to have to do that. And no, I don't. Because I've been working since I was 15.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I'm 40. That is,
I'm tired.
5 years of getting on somebody's train, getting off somebody's bus, walking to somebody. 25 years? Baby, I've done my time. Now, these 15-year-olds, these 22-year-olds, y'all got to put y'all time in. But me, I'm just not interested in that. And hearing you say that, like, the life that I want is full of comfort, peace, and, you know, being comfortable, especially as Black women, we're never allowed those things.
People make it sound like the worst thing. People make it seem like the only way you can be successful, you got to be chasing and grinding and hustling and scraping and you got to die and come back to life. And you got to, you know what I'm saying? Like, God damn. If that's what it takes to chase the dream, I need 5 to 10 business years before I start dream chasing again. Because I need a couple years of relaxation. Nigga's been in school, was in school for 5.5 years, yes, chasing a degree, working since she was 14 and 15. I need a couple years of just regular, degular, go to work, come home, kiss on this man, cook dinner, and go to the gym. Like, I want to scrape. I don't feel like scraping
But why is it that when people ask that and they desire that, then it's not enough? But it goes back to that whole, like, it's attached to something that's material.
Because that's all we know is survival mode. And, like, that's why I kind of, like, I don't know if I really vibe with that statement. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Why? Why do I have to? Do I have to? Or is that just what we have determined is the norm? Because everything has to be attached to struggle and hardship in order to be successful.
I wonder if God be looking at us like we're crazy.
Like, y'all some idiots. I literally have, like, you literally are anointed and you have a gift and I literally have a whole way paved out for you and you just gonna jump off the bridge just, like, what are you doing?
You know, starting tonight, I'm gonna start living from that aspect. Not so much delusion, but I'm gonna just live, like, fully in, like, well, God said I can have anything that I want, so.
Like, there has to be an easier way. It don't have to be hard. I honestly don't think if you're doing things, and sorry, y'all, this episode might be a little churchy, but if you're doing things that you're truly called to do,
yeah,
it don't have to automatically, without a doubt, be hard. That's not saying there won't be obstacles, but I just don't believe that we put on this earth to be grinding and hustling and scraping until we 65 and then you retire. I hate when people are like, you know, you could be a millionaire by 65 and then I'm gonna die. I want to be a millionaire now. Fuck them kids, talk about legacy. Oh, yeah. I want to spend my $1 million right now.
Well, not even be a millionaire. How about I just live comfortably?
I just want to create a life that was intentional and comfortable for me. For me. And it's taking me time. And, you know, as I'm getting older, about to go into my 30s, I feel really blessed. Thank God that he blessed me with self-awareness, because I can tell when I'm uncomfortable because it's worth it. And because I'm in the middle of something great about to happen. And I can tell when I'm uncomfortable because I'm not where I'm supposed to be, because I'm doing something that I ain't supposed to be doing. And when it comes to what I'm inspired to do, to, like, wrap it up and circle back, I feel like I am inspired to make people laugh, specifically to connect people through humor and through likeness. I love laughing with people because, damn, you went through the same thing I went through. Or, damn, you too. Like, I love those you too, shut up, me too moments. You know, that's why we call ourselves twin. That, any friendships, like true friendships that I have, regardless of who they are, I two of my best friends in the world are white women, and it's because, like, they're my dogs, because we be having these same, we connect through these moments of, like, girl, shut up, me too, I had that same thought. And that's human nature, and that's we're all different humans experiencing very similar things, very, very similar things. And so I'm inspired to connect people through humor, which I think in 2024, I'm really going to lean into that, which is why I love being on this podcast talking shit.
Yes.
Because while I'm a very serious person, and I really be, if y'all listening, I really be talking talking that shit. I'm also just here to talk shit. At the end of the day, right. Nothing is that serious. Nothing is that deep. Like, y'all, please don't take anything I say as Bible or literal. Read the book. Don't read the book. I don't know. I'm literally a liar. I'm a liar. I'm the first one to tell you. But I truly believe that I just love being in community with people and just feeling connected to people, even if it's unspoken. You know what I mean? I just love being in community with people, feeling connected, and then just like laughing. And I think I have a great ability to do that. And so I don't know what that is going to look like in this next chapter of my life, but I really do feel, and I think that's still going to lead me back to entertainment. I do believe that's still going to lead me back to entertainment. That's why I don't think my dream is dead, but I have to reconnect with my dream on an inspirational level and dead the part of me that was chasing the dream out of desperation. And I would have never come to that conclusion. Hey, this is why, and my sis can attest to this. This is why y'all need to be reading books and shit. Because sometimes you ain't going to ever think of some, you got to read, it be stuff in these books.
The book. They wrote it. They wrote it for you to read it.
It be stuff in these books. It's no way I would have ever come to any of that if I hadn't read this book. And I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I don't be reading no books. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. This is, Sandy Foss office forcing me, even in high school. Baby, why would I read your book when Spark Notes is right there? Spark Notes is right there, ma'am. I'm not reading the Scarlet Letter. What the hell? Great Gatsby? Great Gatsby? Couldn't tell you, baby. I'm watching the movie. I'm reading the Spark Notes. I'm not Caterbury. What?
Missed all the good points by reading the book.
This is 1984? Baby, it's 07. I'm not reading that. Going to the Spark Notes. The internet is a beautiful thing. However, now at this big age, I'm reading the books more, and I'm capping. It's shit in the books. Yeah, like, my sis be reading the books. G be reading the books.
I'm finishing the book now so that I can finish this other book, Black Cake. So then I can go and watch it on Hulu to see if they really kept it.
Reading multiple books at one time is insane. Now you just on a whole Olympic level of book reading at this point. Cause so how, why the hell you not confused? How you reading multiple books at one time? Though,
here's the thing. Like, I feel like I've fallen off so bad. And I have, like, it's so funny. When we moved, my brother was like, you and your husband got like suitcases full of books. Babes, we have like 2 full suitcases along with like 5 bins of books.
I be really buying the books though. I be buying the books because I be liking to support the Black guys. I got Tab Book right there. I got Tab Book. I got a book called All the Lonely People. I got multiple Maya Angelou books. I got
all the books. I'm reading this one. This one is actually really good. It's called The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store by James McBride. And I'm almost done with it.
How would I ever know to pick? Like, that's the thing. When you ain't a reader, you don't know where to start. Because I'm never picking up a book called The Heaven Grocery Store.
Well, I go to the Barnes & Noble and I have a guy, Doug. We talk about books. I'm going to email him once I get finished. And then this one right here, this is probably like the reverse. But you know, Nidra is my girl.
Drama free.
Family. It says, The Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships.
Send me the link today. I would like the link to the book.
So, you know, I have a whole stack right here. So
my next book, I just bought it. I'm really excited to read. What's the book called?
Who's author?
Dr. Joy. Do you know who Dr. Joy is? Therapy for Black Girl? Circle? The Sister Circle?
Yeah, she has a book out?
Yes. Let me see what the book called.
You know the other book you need to read and get into is Dr. Anita Phillips.
Sisterhood Heals. That's
Dr.
Joy's books. Yeah, like, but Anita Phillips, ain't that a preacher?
She is a preacher, but she's also a therapist, and baby, she be coming for the next.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I love her podcast. She has a podcast. She just wrote a book. Lovey Ajayi said it was so amazing, and I'm definitely going to go back.
Okay, so I'm going to send you podcast recommendations and then you send me book recommendations. Gotcha. And that's how we're going to get on the same level. Okay, period. We did that. But
great, sis. Let's get to our good and ghetto.
Yes. I love that. That was so good. Okay, period. So my good, I'm going to like stay consistent with kind of what we've been talking about. My good is, you know, I'm reconnecting with the Lord. Okay. And I feel good about it. You know, I've always been a Christian, always had a relationship with God, but I am excited to be getting a little bit more connected back to the church. Y'all don't hold me to it, because the church be playing and it'll piss me off, and I will definitely not be there very long.
But you know what? Just sit in the back. That's the thing. Just go and sit in the back. That's
fully what I plan on doing. And I'm not talking to nobody. I'm going in the back. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to read that Bible. I'm going to hear that verse, and I'm leaving.
Get that.
And I might not have no offering for the first couple months. I got to see what's going on. I got to feel what I'm feeling. I ain't got no money. Get out of my pockets, Sarah. Okay. So that's my good.
What's your good?
What's your good? Oh, I'm on ghetto too?
Oh,
yeah,
no,
you
no,
go
I'll
good.
So my good is the husband and I took a road trip to go support one of my friends. It's kind of twofold. One, I've never liked road trips with my family because we kind of outgrew it. Everybody got older and mm-hmm. everybody started doing their own thing. But it's really nice to go on a road trip with your own family that you create. So me and my husband had a good time. We went through 5 states. We went through Kentucky. We went through Nashville, North Carolina, South Carolina, and another one I can't remember. And then on our way back, we and I was a passenger princess the entire time we drove. We stayed in South Carolina. When we drove back, we stayed in Nashville, and I met up with my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, and we had lunch, and it was so great. And I remembered why I freaking love the South. Like, I'm definitely a Midwest girl. But there's something to be said about the South that is just very different. Like, Carolina is very different. I definitely miss Texas, but that's my good. And also part two of that is being there for your friends and being loyal is top tier. When the world starts talking about, you know, I ain't no new friends, this and that, da da da. When you are loyal to your people, it just does something good to my heart. So that's my good.
10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I love that. I enjoy a good road trip, and I'm pretty sure that I'm going to buy a house in the South. Like, when I finally decide to buy a house, which won't be for a while, I'm probably going to buy a house in the South. Probably Georgia, to be honest. Either Georgia or North Carolina. One or two.
Oh, it's just so amazing. Charlotte. You should go ahead.
Yes, I really like Charlotte, actually. Okay, my ghetto. Twofold, real quick. Number one, laundry. What the fuck?
I love
laundry.
It.
Laundry got to relax. Why do it's such an effort to wash all the clothes and fold it for them to get dirty again so fast? Like, the laundry builds up at an exponential rate in this house to a point where it's like, I just washed. What did I do?
Use the fabric things to keep them fresh for like 12 weeks.
Send me the link to that, because at this point, I'm ready to burn all the clothes and start over. I'm so tired of doing laundry. It used to be the dishes. Now, baby, I will load and unload that dishwasher in my sleep. But this laundry? Why is there a full basket and a full laundry bag full of clothes that need to be washed? I was just down at the laundromat spending all my damn money. The fuck is going on, laundry? Pisses me off. So, I'm sorry. My bad. I'm triggered. I need to wash right now. I'm probably going to have to wash tonight in the evening hour. So that's that. Laundry go to hell. And then my other one is, if you follow me on TikTok, I said this, but what's up with getting big? Because I'm getting big and I don't like it. And the main issue that I think is really ghetto about it is nobody told me that when you get big, your bra literally gets tight.
Super tight.
Gee, my bra is getting tight. Yeah. I said, oh, my back is literally getting big to the point where my bras are tight. Moment of transparency. I can't tell y'all the last time I bought a new bra. Moment of transparency. I don't know if it's my back getting big or my titties then grew, but the bra is cutting off my circulation.
Yeah, and but here's the thing.
It's seeing me off.
Is that you're wearing a bra. That's one.
You know where I work. I have
this
to.
This is true. But, or you know what? What has helped me? Gotta cut the meals in half. Baby, I'll be eating half sandwiches out here. Drinking water.
Oh, baby. Oh, let me tell you, I won't be here for long. I am the biggest I've ever been in my life. And I tell you right now, when I get back where I'm supposed to, if anybody even tries to make me big again, I don't know who to blame, because it's clearly not my fault. I would have never allowed this to happen to myself. I don't know who to blame yet, but whoever let me get this big is going to jail. Whoever let me get this big is going to jail. Prison. Federal time. Jail. I'm big as hell right now, and my bras is tight, and it's pissing me off, and I think that's very ghetto, because I thought that my bra too tight, my booty shaking from the left to the right. I thought that was just a song. I didn't know that bras really got tight. This is very new to me. I did not know that bras literally got tight. Bras really get tight, y'all. I'm on the first setting. You know, is it called a setting? You know, it got the different loops. First one. Yeah, I usually go all the way to the third one. I'm on the first loop, and I'm still, as soon as I get home, like, that's crazy to me. So those are my ghettos, and I'm really, I had to get that off my chest. Thank you for this platform, because now I feel better.
No problem. I'm just go real quick with my ghetto. This has always been my ghetto, and it will always remain my ghetto. I can't stand passive-aggressive people. Say what you mean what you say. If you throw that rock, let me see your hand. Don't hide it behind no corporate jargon, okay? Don't think that because you shed a tear that all of a sudden, oh, now I'm just going to get on your side of you being wrong. I will look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not the person to do that with. And I feel like I'm pretty, I could be a little emotional and less cutthroat. But when I feel like you try to use your tears and this passive aggressiveness to get your point across, I feel like you're trying to play me. Now I got to smack the shit out of you, because stop playing with me. Yeah. And I ain't even that person.
I'm literally going to look at you like you're insane. I'm going to look at you like you're insane. Like you have 6 nipples on your forehead. Who are you talking to?
Really crying right now? Really? What are you crying for?
Like, knock it off. Yeah. Please.
So yeah, that's my ghetto.
Period. That's a good one. Well, I think that's the show, folks.
Yeah.
this was so good. This has been a great time. It's always a good time to get on the microphone with my sis. Hey, thank you guys again for tuning in to another episode of Good and Ghetto, the pod. Again, I just can't even believe how consistent we are with these episodes. It's blowing my mind, like out the water.
Consistent.
I don't know how y'all even keeping up with us at this point. But thank you for coming back every time. Follow me. Please, I take it back. Don't follow me if you want to. Cool. But follow our Instagram. Yes. Our Instagram for the pod is actually up. It's live. Our other socials are coming eventually. Really? But follow us on Instagram for sure at Good and Ghetto the Pod. Okay. The pod. Follow us there. That's where we post the new episodes and any other podcast related content. So please get our followers up. And also, y'all leave some reviews. If you are one of the 17 that I love so much, leave a review. 5 stars only. Don't be petty. Leave 3. If you're leaving a review, come on. If you're leaving a review, it's because you love us. Give us all 5, please. We're scraping. We're from the bottom up right here with the pod. So we love y'all. Thank you.
Love you.
It's getting dry outside. Put some lotion on.
It's mind important. Your business.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.